Friday, and welcome to the Beauty Files. I am Juanita. I am so glad you can join us today. We have such a great show today. And it's fun-filled. It's packed. We got Helen Wu, who is the author of a new book called Self-Aid, Inspirations Turn to Struggles to Success. And she has all these inspirational what she calls woo-isms, and I can't wait for you all to hear this. This is such a wonderful read and a wonderful book, and it has inspired me by a lot of the quotes and the things that she has gone through and how she's overcome it. So I'm really hoping that you will stick with us and listen to this part, well, all of the show, but especially Helen. I love her story. And later on today, we're going to be joined by Kenneth Wilson. He is the CEO of a new magazine, new online magazine. It's called BMV, which is Black Man Validation, and it's all about helping more awareness for our Black men and showing, you know, the world that, you know, our Black men are wonderful, they're successful, they're, you know, they have a lot to offer. And I just want him to, you know, give us some more information about that. And then later, we're going to be joined by Club W. W is for wine. I know a lot of you think that I am a wine head. I just like good wine. And, you know, when I see something that says quality wine, no middleman, and saving money, bam, I'm there. I got my glass on my desk. No, I'm not drinking on the job, because that wouldn't be professional. Give us a call if you have a question. It's 888-627-6008. This is the Beauty Files. And before I go to Helen Wu, just want to let you guys know that I am starting a new YouTube channel. It's about, I was going to call it Cougars, because I am dating a younger guy, but I'll say it's for older women who still look good, who still want to look good. And I give tips, you know, 1 minute tips on different products that I've tried, that I've used, that are good, that I know that, you know, will help us out. So I will definitely let you guys know about that YouTube channel when that comes out. Without further ado, Helen Wu, welcome to the Beauty Files.
Thank you for having me, Juanita. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. And, you know, a lot of people, when they get your book, Self-Aid, your background, where you've come from, was very challenging. And I just want people to know, why did you decide to write a book called Self-Aid? And Self-Aid, by the way, does stand for something.
Yes. Well, I wrote this because I incorporated this self-aid into overcoming each and every challenge that I've encountered. And boy, did I have many. I mean, it was one challenge after another, after another, after another. And the more I incorporated self-aid, the easier my challenges became to overcome. There's still challenges, but I just know how to go into it and get out of it quicker now.
Yeah, and I think that is a problem with a lot of people. A lot of people will get into it, but they have no idea how to get out of it or how to overcome it. And you've done that.
Oh, boy, again and again. Now, I mean, I can laugh a little bit about it because, you know, I mean, there's so much hardship. I mean, I was one of the people who said, why me? Why is this happening to me? I mean, why is everything happening to me? So, you know, and if you feel like that, and I felt like that in the past, you know, you just have to remember why you, because you're here to get stronger. And that's exactly what happened to me. You know, the challenges came, they were really, really difficult. They were really hard. But boy, you know, when you have a system in your own head, in your own mind, in your own way of doing something and overcoming stuff, it works. And when it works, take that with you, as I do with me now. And that's why I put it into a book. Because it helped. It helped so much. I believe very much in helping myself. That's why I talk about self-aid.
Yeah, and, you know, for those people who are just joining us, this is the Beauty Files with Juanita. Give us a call at 888-627-6008, and I know a lot of you like to send me emails, so you do have thebeautyfiles2@gmail.com, or you can send me a tweet at thebeautyfiles2. You know, I take most of the stuff that you say personal, because going through something myself, and I actually thought that I would never be able to overcome or get out of it. And it was I don't think it was as hard as yours, but you know, every person's degree is hard, and you know, depending on where you're coming from. But one of the key things that I love that you said was laughter.
Oh, that's important.
Laughing is the most intoxicating drug that you can get in your life that will help you overcome so many different obstacles.
Oh boy, it is. It's intoxicating, it's therapeutic, it's, I mean, everything about it is healthy and it's free. I mean, that's pretty awesome. It's free.
Exactly. It's free. I mean, it's like, it doesn't take that much to get into it. But, you know, you get someone who's so depressed or so, you know, removed from whatever, and they do the why me or whatever. And if you just take one moment and just look at something that is so ridiculously funny. I know you quoted as saying Ellen DeGeneres, which is, by the way, the best person to make you laugh.
Oh, love her. She pulled me out of a depression. She was the reason why I snapped out of my depression. I mean, honestly, she was the beginning phase of my depression, and I realized if I can laugh 1 hour, and it was just 1 hour show, right? So if I can laugh 1 hour a day out of the times I was just doing nothing but crying, and I had a dark cloud over my head wherever I walked, wherever I went, except for that 1 hour a day, I realized, oh my goodness, if I can laugh during this hour, why can't I laugh during the rest of the day? And that's when I started seeking inspirations, different inspirations. And that's why I have a book that actually is all about inspirations and affirmations to pull yourself out of a funk, to pull yourself out of a bad mood, a bad day, a bad situation. And even for the happy people, my goodness, you look at in some of the pages, you can open it to any page and you'll still smile, which is so great. I'm really proud of this.
Now, you know, it's so funny that you say that, Helen, because I thought that I know I'm not the only person, but I collect inspirations, I collect quotes. I collect anything that helps me get through the day that I know if I read it, it will change the way I feel at that moment. And I love what you have done in your book, because you've put a quote by a person, a famous person, and then you change it and you do what we call a woo-ism.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Now, one of my, you know, I have several favorites, but I'm going to read one that, let me see if I can remember. Okay, this is the one that we've just been talking about, our girl, Ellen. You say, Ellen says, to me, beauty is about being comfortable in your own skin. It's about knowing who you are and accepting who you are. And in you, woo-ism, say, I think that when we like ourselves, it shows. Confidence allows us to radiate beauty from the inside out. What a fantastic take on that.
Yeah, these are my feelings, you know, and a lot of it is my feelings. Some of it is the therapy that I went through, saying it again. They're like daily affirmations. When you say something again and again, you believe it. And when you believe it, you start living it. And I think that the affirmations are very important daily. When you're going through a hard time, you know, even me, financial crisis, I mean, I just kept saying abundance will be arriving in my front door. You know, just you have to just really say affirmations and believe it. And it starts happening because you start manifesting it. Of course, with action and some effort, of course.
Right, right. I love the fact that you said, you know, you continue to say it, because a lot of people will just say it one time and they think that that's all you need. It's just to say, you know, abundance is at my front door. You know, whatever I think about, I bring about. That's my hope. That's mine. Whatever I think about, I bring about. So I just try to think about something entirely different if it's something depressing or if it's something bad.
So, yeah, exactly. And that's very important. And that's another part of my self-aid, is training my own brain, if I have a bad thought, to change it into a good one. And again, this is all a lot of practice. And then you start habitually realizing, oh my goodness, when there's a bad thought crossing your head, I start realizing that there is one, and I change it with a positive thought. So these are just things that, you know, when we practice a lot or practice often, they start coming to us, and we start really, really getting, you know, manifesting our own positive outcome.
Now, you know, a lot of us do have self-esteem issues. Did you have any specific self-esteem issues?
Oh, definitely. I was called the ugly duckling in my home. You know, I was very unfavored. There was favoritism in my home growing up. And I was told that, you know, I was the ugly duckling, that I would not succeed, and just a lot of things. You know, verbal abuse is very damaging. to a child, especially as an adult. You know, I worked my way into helping myself, you know, get out of that self-esteem issue, all the self-esteem issues and all the, you know, verbal abuse. And I've let go completely. But with self-esteem, I just, you know, honestly, you just have to look in the mirror. I mean, this is one of my therapies. I look in the mirror and I just tell myself I'm pretty. And honestly, again, it's like what we said from the beginning. When you affirm yourself of a positive affirmation, you say it again and again, it becomes true because you start living it. And self-esteem just, you know, slowly but surely started coming. Of course, it's with all the other things. I love laughing. I love making people laugh. I love, you know, laughing at their jokes. I love, you know, expressing myself. It takes time. It takes time to, you know, if you don't have it, you know, naturally, it takes time to gain and acquire confidence and also have esteem for others. You know, so no jealousy issues, no envy issues. Just admire other people for what they have and what their talents are, what their skills are. And we become better and we learn from them. So that's another important thing. Then that's E for my acronym of self-aid. S is for self-aid, helping ourselves every day. E is for esteem. And I can go down the list if you want to hear it.
Yeah, I would love you to.
Okay, esteem, again, like I said, for other people and for myself. L has two chapters, love and laughter, and those are two extremely important things put into my life, and I hope everyone else does too. F is very important, how I have overcome a lot of my challenges, and one of the main ingredients in overcoming my challenges is I have let go of anger, resentment, difficult times, painful moments. I have, even though it's always going to be in my memory bank, I have let go of the stuff and forgiven myself and others for hurting me, because if I didn't forgive myself and didn't let go of that, you know, the negative emotions like anger, I just could not go on to my next task and succeed at it, because I go into it with a negative connotation. I go into it with a little anger. I go into, you know what I'm saying? So I've let go. So freedom for my F chapter is very important, freeing ourselves and getting rid of the baggage, kicking all the baggage to the curb. And that's so important. A in self-aid stands for attitude. And again, that's what I mentioned earlier to you about training my brain, habitually kind of picking out the positive thoughts in my head, throwing out the bad thoughts. Having a positive attitude is everything in making a good or a bad day. I stands for integrity in self-aid. And I think that integrity is the sexiest, the most attractive, the most beautiful characteristic of a human being. Because whether you're rich or poor, whether you're up or down, whether you're great at sports or not, it doesn't matter where you are, how high, how low you are. I believe that integrity, what you say is what you should do, what you do is what you should say, vice versa. I believe that I never stray from my integrity, and I look for integrity in my friends, my child, myself, my lover, my business associates. I believe integrity is just a very beautiful trait. D is for dream, and that is, you know, and I don't wish this upon anyone to just like hit rock bottom and then find their dream, because that's what happened to me. But
right.
I do wish, though, that people will somehow, some way do their process of self-awareness and realize what they were put here on earth to do, because I did suffer so much, and I did have so much, pretty much devastation in my life, I call it, because my best friend ran away with just about every penny I've ever had, and I had a lot of money at the time, and she put me in a financial rock bottom, devastation financial mode. I mean, bankruptcy, foreclosure, everything. I had an infant child. And so, but here's the crazy thing that happened from it. With all the material stuff gone in my life, I found my true passion. I genuinely am not just saying to my friends and family and business associates anymore that I want to have a dream. I have a dream. I hope to do this one day. I actually love every moment of what I do today, and I'm actually living my dream now.
Now, you know, it's so funny that you say that, Helen. I'm sitting here, you know, and I can share this, but I have a little tear in my eye. And the reason why I say that is because you mentioned the fact that you were devastated, that you went through the bankruptcy, you went through foreclosure, whatever. But there are some people that will still try to kick you even when you're at that part and you're saying, I'm good, I'm good. I'm going to rise from this. I'm good. I'm going to make myself whole. I'm going to be the best person I can be. And there are some people that will still try to kick you.
Yes.
How do you overcome that?
That is very hard, you know, and that...
Yeah.
is also, you know, something through the self-aid that I talk about every day that's in my book that is what I practice every day now.
Yep.
There is something about also remembering the positive attitude thing has to do with my whole life. It has to do with my thought process, and it has to do with what I surround myself with as well. So if there are going to be negative people, I'm not trying to say go away, but I am going to have to keep my space because I want to be around positive people so that these positive people are in line with my positive thoughts.
Right.
You know, and so positive thoughts gets me my positive outcomes. So, yes, did I feel kicked when I was down? Yes, I did. I agree. I understand what you're saying because I was there, and there were people that did kick harder. And you know what? I just have to say that there's this internal strength and persistence that came from within me that I learned through my process of self-aid. I learned through the process of the many, many challenges that I faced that just kept me strong. And I'm so grateful for it. Oh, by the way, my last chapter is a gratitude chapter. Every day is Thanksgiving to me.
Yeah, I do that every day, Helen. It's like, you know, that is the one thing that I have learned from everything that has happened is that I give gratitude. I give gratitude to the fact that I awakened myself by myself, that
yeah.
I was able to open up my eyes and hit the floor by myself. But what do you tell people, and I'm getting a message, I got an email, and someone asked, what do you tell a person who's with someone who's always bringing them down?
Well, you know what? It's a matter of do you want to be confrontational or not? Because sometimes if this person is not capable of hearing anything, whether it be a constructive criticism or not, sometimes you just have to let it not go, but you have to keep your space, like I said earlier. I don't know if I necessarily have to tell someone. If you're very, very close to them, I have told friends before. I said, you know what? I'm in a very difficult time in my life right now, and I really need upbeat people around me, and I really do need a positive reinforcement, not negative. And I have said that very openly before. But that's me, because I'm very open. Then I have friends who are not as outspoken as I am. They just keep their space and they just ask for space. So there's definitely different ways of saying it without hurting the other party, because I don't feel that just because someone hurts me that I need to hurt them back.
Right. And, you know, there's a wonderful quote that, and I'm a Joel Osteen person, a fan, and he did a whole sermon on almost exactly what you're talking about. And one of the things that he said was, if you hang out with chickens, you can't expect to soar like an eagle. I just can't be around people anymore that just won't allow to realize how precious time is and how precious life is. And reading your book and your affirmations and your quotes, I have them all over my office now. I mean, and I'm not lying. I'm not just saying it because, you know, you're on my show. But, you know, I have your to experience love is to have a taste of heaven on earth. Absolutely love that. Absolutely love that. Or love diminishes my worries and keeps me optimistic. Love enables me to see the possibility. I truly believe that love, you know, if being in love, have love in your life or whatever, it changes you too. It makes you a better person. And not to just say that I have to be in love to be a better person, but it just makes me feel good about myself.
It really does. It really does.
It just makes me feel good about myself.
And that's the first foremost important thing, loving yourself. And then you can love the world and they can love you back.
Exactly. What would be the first thing you would recommend to someone to get on the road to self-aid? What would you tell somebody? Like, you know, Juanita, you're bringing me down. Here's a book. You need to read this. What's going on with your life? You know, you're bringing me down. You're making me drink more than I need to. So what's going on?
Well, the first thing I tell someone with self-aid is acknowledgement. I mean, I had to acknowledge first, because if you don't acknowledge that you're not perfect, then you think you're perfect and you think you don't need change. I think the first thing is to get out of denial, because I'd say, please acknowledge that you could be better in this area, whether it be in this area of work or this area of being nicer to people. Please acknowledge that we can be better. I definitely had a lot of area to see that, what was going on in my life, the bad relationships, the bad friends, you know, my best friend walked away from me with all my money. I mean, I was definitely surrounding myself with some, you know, not so good energies, not so good people. But I didn't know this. I'm very trusting, very loving. That's where my love comes in. I do have a lot of it to give, but I have to give it to myself as well. And the first thing I say to any person who starts self-aid is acknowledging themselves and looking for one inspiration. Because I believe that one inspiration, like my Ellen DeGeneres, got me to go out and look for so many more inspirations. Because once you find one, it makes you smile, and then you want another and another and another, and then it just is this wonderful upward feeling of existence that is so empowering to yourself. Once you find one inspiration and you realize you can be happy, then you look for the next one, and you feel happier and happier every day. So I do say, please, self-acknowledgement that you can improve, and then I say, go ahead and look for an inspiration. It could be like your favorite movie. It could be your favorite movie, a friend that is on the other line that is always makes you laugh. It could be so many different things. A favorite comedy show or a favorite nighttime TV talk show.
Right. Yeah, it's I love, and people always, you know, laugh at me, but I love cartoons. I like adult cartoons, but I have to watch them at night, right before I go to bed, just so I can laugh.
See, that's great.
I can't watch the news anymore because it's just so depressing.
Neither can
I. I just don't watch it.
I cannot either. And I'm like, all of a sudden, I know so many people that are like me. We cannot watch the news anymore because it brings us down.
Yeah. It's like at night, before I go to sleep, that is not the last thing I want to see, is that someone just got killed, shot, or maimed. I just don't even want to know.
Same here.
I'll hear it, you know, when I wake up in the morning, I have my coffee, I've given my thanks, and then I'll listen to it, and I'm like, okay, let me turn it off, and then I'll watch some old movie. I just can't do it anymore.
Yeah, it is sad that most of the stuff on the news, on every channel of the news, is bad news. They don't offer good news.
They don't offer good news anymore.
Helen
Wu with Self-Aid. I encourage everyone to pick up this book. How can they get your book, Helen? Give us some information about that. And you also have a radio show, too.
Yes, well, it's on Amazon. My book is called Self-Aid, Inspirations to Turn Struggles into Success. And my name is spelled HelenWoo, Helen Wu. You can definitely punch in Helen Wu on Amazon, on BarnesandNoble.com, on Ingram, and they're coming to all different little bookstores around. You can find me on TheHelenWoo.com, or look me up on Facebook, The Helen Wu again, THEHELENWOO. And yes, my radio show is called Self-Aid Success Stories, and that is on hiatus at the moment because I'm promoting the book right now, and I have so many different appointments I have to make every day, so I can't really do a weekly show at the moment.
Okay.
But my next book coming out in the spring is called the same name as my radio show, Self-Aid Success Stories. So
we will have you back to talk about that as well.
Love to. And it's more story-based. You know, whereas my first book right now, Inspirations to Turn Struggles into Success, the self-aid book is all about inspirations and affirmations. The other one will be a little more story-based on successful entrepreneurs and public figures that have challenges as well, just like we do. Everyone has had challenges, and they've overcome it. And I want people to know that we can all overcome, you know, devastation or difficulties or any challenges, and we can battle. We could win the battle.
Helen Wu, you've been amazing. I wish I could spend more time with you. I thoroughly enjoyed our time together on the show.
Thank you
so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Juanita.
And coming up next, we're going to be talking with Kenneth Wilson with BMV Magazine. You're listening to The Beauty Files with Juanita. Give us 30 seconds. We'll be right back. Wonderful guest, Helen Wu, with Self-Aid, Inspirations to Turn Struggles into Success. That is such a wonderful read. And like I was saying to her, you know, all her inspirations and her affirmations, I literally have them all over my office because I just love they inspire me, and they help me throughout the day as well. I know a lot of people who know me, they know that I always send inspirational quotes or messages, you know, whenever I know someone's feeling down or if someone's having a bad day. And I am an inspiration to quotes person. I love doing that because it always helps me, so I think if it helps me, it would help other people. I mean, I don't know. I could be just, you know, thinking that it does, but it helps me, so, you know. Welcome back to the Beauty Files. Kenneth Wilson is founder and CEO of a wonderful new online magazine geared toward the black man. I like saying that, the black man. BMV Magazine. Welcome, Kenneth, to the Beauty Files.
Hello, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing great, I tell you. It's wonderful.
I love this magazine.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. You know,
and you know, my first question is, you know, we need it. I'm so glad you did it. But why did you decide to do it?
I did it. This BMV actually stands for Black Man Validation. It's really, I call it almost like my short life's work. You know, I'm not that old, but, you know, it's the combination of a little bit of my upbringing, and I feel like I went through a lot of the things a lot of our young brothers are going through in the household and seen a lot of different things. And, you know, and I actually got into work. I started working as a mentor, and I ran youth programs, and I worked with a lot of men and through, you know, case management, stuff like that. And over the years, I found some commonalities in some of the things I said. And I said, I think we can do something about this, you know. And some of the things I found were that as men, I feel like we were losing, you know, we're not sharing the same information that we used to share generations past in
right.
terms of our morals and values and what we taught to our sons and young men. And, you know, like I feel like as the decline of the family structure, the decline of that information sharing is lost. So that's one of the reasons. The other reason is just that I also felt like we need to start showcasing positive black men. All we see in news and media is just the black man is portrayed in a certain way, you
right.
know. And I felt like it was time to start showing the guys in the neighborhood, the guys who are our fathers and role models and the positive men who are still out there and they're still being living examples and they're doing these things. And they're all around us, but it's amazing how I found that, you know, like working with young men and things like that, that no one could identify, you know, no one even knew what they looked like. There was no
yeah.
template. There was nothing, you know? And so I, you know, this, like I said, about 3 years ago, I really started this concept for this magazine. And it was that, and this, as being a young man myself and coming into being a young father and things like that and a husband, it was, what did I want to see?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what did I want to read? What did I want to pick up? What did I want to look at? And, you know, I did a lot of research and I looked at a lot of different things. And this is the idea I came up with. You know, I said, I want to start showing what real positive men look like, the guys who are really holding down their families and the household and the communities. And, you know, we don't see enough of these men. The light bulb went off and I said, because we don't see these men, it's no brainer why our young men don't have guidance, you know,
right.
why they are doing the things they're doing. So, you know, to sum it up, that was the reason.
So how hard was it to start an online magazine, though? I mean, you know, especially with this topic, because you made a good point. We don't see positive black men enough, and there are a lot of positive black men, but we don't see that. We see, you know, the Tayvon Martin and the Michael Brown scenarios all the time, and we're always, you know, inundated with that image, which is sad. We kind of need to see, you know, and I go to your magazine. There's one section in your magazine that I love. It's called Tied Together Men's Group.
Yeah.
I love that because it shows.
Yeah.
yeah.
It's a men's group that we started that kind of branched off from the magazine, but it really was about what did this look like? You know, if we could take the magazine and kind of have a tangible example of it, what would it look like? And so we started this group, and it's pretty much just a collection of young brothers around the area, guys I know and things like that. And we started coming together, and it's really become about, you know, we're doing some activism, we're doing some community service and things like that, but also we're being social. You know, we go out, we're looking good, you know, like
yeah, right.
positive men came together. And we found that there was so much power in that. I mean, we would go out and people would ask us, who are you guys? What are you doing? You know, because they weren't used to seeing that many black men, you know, looking that way and acting that way. And they was just so curious, you know, and people from all walks of life, people from all races would come up and ask us, you know, what are you guys doing? What do you, you know, right. What are you guys here? And sometimes it would be, hey, we're just getting a bite to eat, you know.
Or, yeah, exactly. You know, but you're yeah. portraying, you're showing what a black man should look or can look like. I mean, I'm
exactly.
you know me,
yeah.
I'm tired of the baggy pants. I cannot,
yes.
I cannot
yes.
take it. When I see a well-dressed man, black, white, or whatever, but when I see a well-dressed man, it is such a turn-on because it just shows
yeah.
me that you've taken pride to make yourself look good.
Exactly, exactly. And so, and that's what we said. We wanted to be living examples of this. You know, I have a philosophy. I said, I'm tired of, you know, I got tired of telling young men and people, do better, do better, do better. We need to start showing them what that looks like, you
right.
know? We can't just tell people, do better, do good. But we need to start giving, this is how you do it, X, Y, Z, here's the path. And that was part of the magazine. And even as we tell stories of some of the men, it's to give a tangible roadmap. You know, we can tell them now, here's how you can do it.
Right.
You know, here's a particular avenue. You can try it, you know? Try this path. It might work for you, you know? And start to give them real evidence and real methods to that they can now use instead of just saying, you know?
Right. You're listening to The Beauty Files with Juanita. One question has come across here. It says, how often does your magazine come out? Or is
we're monthly. It's a monthly magazine, and that's our first edition.
Okay.
Yeah, we came out in February. That was our first edition. So we come out the second Thursday of each month.
Okay. And how do you get your stories? Or do you ask people to send in ideas? Do you blog? You know, how do you get your stories? Because there's so many stories to be told. My God.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it is, you know, I have a great team now. I'm working with a lot of great young people, a lot of young black male writers, guys who just want to write. And a lot of it was just, you know, starting off to share what was on their hearts.
Right.
And now as we're moving along and we're progressing, you know, like the next magazine, we're talking about youth, the black man, you know, the young black man. That's our next edition. That's the theme for it. And
oh,
so
that's
really, it's really just a collection of sharing and we're interviewing. We got some good young men we're going to interview and tell their stories, you know, how they're doing things. And so each month we've got some themes that we're coming along with. But also it's really just also I wanted to get some young men, some young writers, and we're working with young students and things like that who had a heart and wanted to share what was on their heart also. I didn't want this to be like, you know, we tell them what to write exactly. We have themes and we have things that it's loosely based on, but I wanted to hear what they had to say, you know?
Right.
You know, they're intelligent as well, so we have some loose guidelines, but it's really based on what they're sharing as well.
Yeah, and I like that perspective. I love to get a younger perspective because I don't know how old you are. You don't sound old. You sound like you're at 30, 20.
Yeah, I'm about 30. I'm about 31, yeah.
31, okay. So you sound young, younger than
yeah.
me. And
yeah.
it's just not, well, because, and I pick a lot. But, you know, it's funny because I always like to hear a younger perspective because I always think that I know something and then I hear it from a different perspective, per se, and it just makes, I don't know, I would just love to read something like that or read something that a younger person, especially a younger person in the Tavon Martin type of era that is telling
yeah.
us, you know, what he's experienced, you know, on a regular basis, on a daily basis, you know, when he goes to work or when he goes for a job interview or when, you know, he gets on the train, he waits for a cab. I mean, there's so
yeah.
many different things that you can learn from of the black perspective of a younger person.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what we wanted to touch on. It was really, you know, like I said, it was sharing. Because we know guys out here feel the same way. They might have similar instances and situations. But it's like, you know, there was so much power in saying, hey, we understand, you know. We went through this as well.
Right.
And also there's a part of the magazine where we started. It's called Her Side of the Story. And it's a blog. But we also have some young women, some women
oh.
of different backgrounds and things like that. And they're giving their perspective as black women on the black issues and things that our black men are going through. And I thought I'm kind of, you know, really excited about it because I felt like as a man, sometimes I don't hear that all the time. I don't get that perspective all the time.
Right.
You know, we might have gotten it from our moms and, wives and our girlfriends, things like that. But to get an objective opinion or objective view from a woman saying, hey, you know, this is why we don't like you with your pants sagging or something like that, you know, like,
right.
And they can really tell us, you know, and get, share as well. So it's really about sharing the information. It really is.
How do you get your audience or how do you get your readers? You know, how are you going about getting that?
Right now, believe it or not, it's been heavy push on social media. And
oh,
word of mouth has also been wonderful as well, too. I mean, people are talking about it. People, you know, it's spreading. And, you know, I mean, the power of the Internet today, you know, it's just it's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
So that's how we've pretty much been doing it. And actually, we're coming along with we're developing the advertising and things like that. So we're working with some people there. But that's been it.
Yeah, because I was going to ask you about advertisers because I got an email about, you know, do you currently have advertising? So maybe they want to advertise, but they ask about advertising.
Okay, yeah. So that's definitely in the works. So we love to work with anyone, you know, who's interested in that as well.
Do you find that it's, I don't want to say hard, because that's not the word. Do you find it difficult to write this magazine in the world that we're living in now, in a positive way?
Surprisingly, no.
Good.
Because, like I said, the one thing I learned when, you know, like I said, I used to work with young people, and I would sit and listen to them, and I realized very quickly that a lot of they just do not know. You know, we would think that they've been taught the lessons, and they know right from wrong, and they know what to do. But a lot of them really don't. A lot of these young people, they've raised themselves and they've been out in the streets and things like that, and they think they know or they think they have an idea of, you know, how their life is going to go and how to navigate in this world, but they really don't. And I found that a lot of them really are seeking out this information. So for me, it became easy because I know there's people out there looking for this information.
Yeah.
So now I can sit down and write and say, I know somebody's going to take this, and even if it's, you know, even if they take it today or tomorrow, whenever they apply it, you know, like, I feel like we've done our job. But, no, I know that there's young guys and young brothers out there who are seeking this out, you know? So it became very easy once I realized that.
And I love the section that you have about health and wellness.
Yeah, and that's something that that's growing as well, too. It's really, we felt like Black men are so unique in terms of when it comes to health and how we take care of ourselves and even some of the health issues that we encounter.
Right.
And we wanted to be able to touch specifically on that. That was one of the things I did when I was researching that. I didn't find too much of, you know, where it would really help you towards Black men, you know. So I'm working with a couple of people, some certified trainers, and even a couple, I've even got a couple Black male doctors who are willing to share and provide input on what they feel specifically targets us. And then not only just talk about the issues, but also talk about solutions and how we can better ourselves and how, you know, nutrition, diet, and even, you know, health and exercise and all those things. So tailored for exactly for us.
Wow. I'm reading, as you're talking to me, I'm reading, you know, part of one of the articles you have about health and wellness, and you're talking with, let me see who you have here. You have more next month, and you is one thing you say is like a cheat meal. But you know, I just love the whole article. I'm reading it as you're talking because I just wanted to, you know, I do that. I kind of multitask sometimes. You know what I love about this is that, and I don't even know this is just a suggestion, but I have to go back to the whole looking the part and the fashion and everything. You know, I just think that it's such a lost art. I enjoy looking at old movies, and the reason why I love looking at old movies is because I love the appreciation of men, how they dressed, how they had this great appreciation of looking the part wherever, in any situation. I went to a play recently, and, you know, I'm still old school. I still dress up. I still wear a dress, heels, whatever. And I just saw someone come in with jeans. And it just it bothered me because I'm thinking, this is a play. I mean, when I know my mom used to take us to plays, we always had to dress up. We always put our Sunday best or whatever. And I just think it's such a lost art. And men just look so great in hats and ties and camel overcoats and pants that fit.
I'm actually a huge fan of men's fashion. Actually, our fashion section is coming next month, this month's edition coming up. So I'm working with a couple young brothers who, you know, they really own men's fashion, I feel like, I'll call it that. You know, like,
yeah,
where, and that's what it has to be for us, because, again, I feel like fashion for black men, men's fashion, is so unique. It is, you know? And it looks so good. And I want to be able to convey, not only, you know, I want it to be different in terms of show fashion, things like that, but also give the young brothers tips on, you know, grooming and,
right,
and certain things, and, like, you know, like, just the importance of shaving, you know, what that means for black men because it's different and things like that, like, you know, trimming and grooming and why it's important to take care of our nails, just certain things like that that,
right,
we know our brothers don't think about. So not only is it fashion and, yeah, you know, going back to looking dapper and things like that, you know, but also the importance of detail and how we appear, how we take care of ourselves and our appearance, you know, and then also the power of our appearance,
right?
You know, because to show them, you know, look what this does for you, you know. And I've always been a believer of, you know, when you look good, you know, you do well, you're confident, things like that. And that's what we're really trying to attempt. So not just with, like, the fashion, the actual articles, clothing, but the overall perspective of what that looks like.
The art of grooming is I think it's phenomenal. I mean, and I know a lot of people will say it's a term, metrosexual, when a guy is just overly groomed. I just think it's just a lost art. And it's so funny that you mentioned that. It's because my boyfriend, he just got a old-fashioned grooming kit, shaving kit, with the brush and the cup that you put the shaving cream in, and the actual scalpel, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't want to call it scalpel, but the shaver, whatever you call it.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was just so cute that he actually had that in his bathroom, and he was so proud of it. And he's like, you know, look at this. This is what I have to groom myself with. And I said, you actually do all that? You don't just go, and that's it? You know, it's like a ritual. It's like a practice. And he's, you know, he was saying this is a lost art.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why, you know, there's so much, and that goes into, like, the pride you take into it. You know, like, that shows how much you care about yourself.
Right.
When you're willing to go through the details and things like that. I mean, like, you know, sometimes we laugh and joke at our women and our wives and their hair and how much you got, the time you guys take. But when done properly, we take the same amount of time, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And I think that's how it's supposed to be. And then we also talk about, like, the health benefits that go into grooming. Like, I was talking to a brother the other day, and I said, you know, you'd be surprised, like, your skin. And if you shave properly and use the materials and clean your materials and things like that, like, your skin will be healthier on your face. You know,
right.
So, like, so many details in it, you know. And those are the things, like, I feel like, you know, I got that from my grandfather. But, you know, like, since then, you know, like, I didn't have, my dad wasn't there to teach me that and things like that. And
right.
I know other brothers who didn't have that. So it's like getting back to that stuff. Like, people are like old school razors. I'm, you know, a lot of guys don't even know what that looks like, you know?
No. Have no idea.
No clue.
Idea.
None. And
I mean, I even like the return of the hat. I see brothers now wearing hats. I love that.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And that's why, and I, you know, hats. So I'm a big bow tie guy, you know, like certain things that it's like, there, you know, to be able to teach that and show that this is an extension of you. You know, I feel like a lot of brothers, we, you know, we can be unique. We want to showcase ourselves and we want to look good. And but it's like there's a whole other world that you haven't tapped into yet when it comes to, you know, like your fashion and how you look and your appearance and things like that. You know, it's just, so to me, it's almost limitless, you know, the things we could be doing. And you know, I love to see young guys out there, you know, when they're clean and nicely shaped up and they got a nice suit on, you know, like, it's nothing like walking downtown and you get to see that.
Exactly. Kenneth Wilson with BMV Magazine. How can we get in touch with you as far as getting a subscription to this wonderful online magazine?
Oh, real simple. It's www.bmvmagazineonline.com. And you can click on subscribe, and you can go through the subscriptions, and you can go that way.
Okay, that sounds fantastic. And I'll send that out to the person that just asked me. BMV online, BMV Magazine Online. Mm-hmm. Is that what you said?
Yeah, BMV Magazine Online.com.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you, Kenneth. It's been a pleasure having you on this show, talking about this online, much-needed online magazine, I might add.
Thank you for having me.
And coming up next, we're going to be talking about wine. Yeah, a wine club that does all the work for you. You just tell them what you like, tell them what you're thinking about, and they will send it to you. We'll be right back with Club W. Give us 30 seconds. You're listening to The Beauty Files with Juanita on BBS Radio. A lot of the stuff that happens behind the scenes. Doug is a hot mess. I love Doug. If he wasn't married, I tell you. Oh, he would be my... Yeah, he cracks me up. Talk about laughing, Helen. Yeah, yeah. Doug makes me laugh every time I talk to him. You're listening to The Beauty Files with Juanita. That was Kenneth Wilson with BMV Magazine Online. And... it's a great magazine. I encourage you to go online and check him out. We are now joined by, okay, Sydney. Now, I'm not going to butcher your last name. Is it Montanue?
Yeah, close.
Oh, Montanue. Close. I want to know what it is exactly. What is it?
It is Romanian. That is where my dad's side of the family is from. So
I love it, though. I want to pronounce it right, though. How do I pronounce it right?
It's like pronouncing it. It's a Romance language, so like you would in Spanish or French, all the vowels, Muntianu.
Oh, that sounds so much nicer. Oh, I butchered your name so bad. Okay. I love
it. No worries.
Well, I'll just say Sydney. Welcome to the Beauty File, Sydney. I love Sydney, too.
Thank you. So it's a pleasure to be here.
So what's the story about Club W? Well, what's going on with that? I think this is the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that. We are a direct-to-consumer winery. What that means is we work directly with vineyards and winemaker partners of ours all over the world to create wines. And instead of going through your traditional three-tier distribution system, which is how most wines show up in your grocery store today, we sell all of our products online and ship them straight to your doorstep each month and every month. And we really try our best to make it fun and make our wines approachable and really help you in a journey of discovering wines that match your taste and your the flavors you like, because it can be intimidating, honestly, walking into a wine shop or a grocery store and
right.
You see all the labels, all the bottles, and you don't know where to start. You can't pronounce half the thing, so you just go with, oh, that's Chardonnay or that Cabernet I know. I know I've had it before, I'll always get it, and it's hard to take the risk and branch out. But there's so much good wine out there, so we really want to make it fun and enjoyable and an adventure.
And a lot of people don't know that there's so many, you know, great wines, but a lot of people assume that to get a great wine, you have to spend a lot of money. And when we go to the wine stores, you know, you could tell us based on our palate profile, you know, well, you can get this mm-hmm. wine, and guess what? It only costs you $13 or $14 or whatever. I'll go to my wine place, and they always get, you know, sit me back to where the high price wine. I don't know what it is. I'm just like, I want it good, but I don't want a mortgage payment.
Yeah, and we totally understand that, and that's a big reason we want our wines and our prices to be approachable. And, you know, there are times where the price tag justifies very right. high quality in a wine. I mean, there are some wines that the process of making them takes a lot of time and extra money. If they were aged in the cellar for a long time, it costs money to keep that and age that and bring it along. Or if they used fancy oak barrels, like, those cost more. But certainly there are many good wines out there that don't have to cost you a fortune. And we really try to make wines that are an incredible value. And one reason we're able to do that is because we work directly with the vineyards and winemakers, bringing it directly to the consumer versus going through many middlemen, which result in more markups. You know, as it goes to a distributor, it gets marked up, and then as it goes again to a retailer, it gets marked up. And so, and then certainly if you go to a restaurant, you know, they'll mark it up even more.
Exactly.
And you know that. But so, yeah, we're able to really focus on putting the money where it counts, which is in the juice and the fruit, and then you know, creating some fun and beautiful labels to go along with it, but then making it easy to come right to you.
So how does that work, Sydney? I mean, how do you make it come to me? I know you, like, you make a suggestion, or we can go on what we want. How many wines do we get per month? And is it a monthly subscription, or, you know, how much does it cost? Does it cost based on what wines you pick?
Yeah. So everybody who is a Club W member, so to start off, yes, we are a wine club. It is a subscription of 3 bottles a month. You can certainly add more wines if you want. But when you start, you take our palate profile quiz, which asks you questions like, how do you take your coffee? Do you like citrus? Do you like berries?
Oh.
Versus questions like, do you like your whites with lots of acidity or big tannins? You might not even know what those mean. So we
right.
ask you questions that make sense about food flavors.
Wow.
And that gives us a really good basis to start recommending wines based on your taste. So we'll make those recommendations for you initially and continue to do that every month. And you can either choose go with our recommendations, or it's totally flexible. You can swap out the wines, say, hey, that one looks more interesting, or I love that label, I'm going to switch it out, I'm going to add 2 more of this one, add more wines, maybe you're having a dinner party one month. And then it's also very flexible in the sense that you can skip a month at any time, 2 months, say you're going on vacation, or you're stockpiling up, or you're on a juice cleanse, whatever.
Great cleanse.
I know. That's my preference, but
exactly. But there's some places that you can't.
There's
some places that you can't deliver, though, right? Or you can't ship to.
There are a few. We ship to most places in the U.S. There are a couple holdout states that we can't ship to because of individual state laws. Sorry, Utah. Sorry, Alabama. But most of the big metropolitan cities and U.S. population, we do ship to. And it's all for the price of $39 a month, which...
Oh, wow, that's good.
Yeah, which includes 3 bottles of wine. So the majority of our products are $13 a bottle, so 3 bottles, $39 a month. We also have a selection of what we call curator's wines, which are above the price of $13 a bottle, and they just exemplify wines that are of, you know, a certain higher quality, not necessarily higher quality, but they come from maybe their age is longer, or they've gone through a winemaking process, as I explained before, that makes them, you know, a higher price point, and you're certainly allowed to mix those in and add those as much as you want to.
That sounds phenomenal. I love that. And I was looking at your website. I was looking at some of the labels. I mean, there are wines that I've never even heard of, or I've never even thought existed. And you just have so many different wines that it would be impossible for someone not to find someone that they something that they like.
I hope so. We definitely approach it, our wine program, from a way of making it really diverse. You know, we'll have your classics. We'll have the wines that are popular for good reason. They're great wines. We want Sauvignon Blanc and Cabernet Sauvignon and Chardonnay, Syrah. But then there, like I said, there's so many thousands of grapes in the world that we want to take you on a little adventure and show you some things that you might not find in your wine shop or would never have heard of or thought to try. But doing it in a way that we're like, okay, hey, we know you like this type of wine, or we know your tastes are kind of on this end. Try this. You may have never heard of it, but we think you'll like it.
Now, before I let you go, Sydney, the question I want to ask, how do you become an expert? I mean, who do you have that works with Club W that knows all this wine stuff, or they know about wines, or what wine goes with this, or I think she would like that wine because I know. Who do you have working at Club W?
We have a great product team who they are certainly experts in the winemaking world. Our chief wine officer, his name is Brian Smith, and he has a background as both a winemaker and a sommelier.
Wow.
And then we have a team of other winemakers who help, and then other sommeliers as well who help with pairings and suggestions. So we have a great team of experts here at Club W that really help and want to make the best suggestions possible, and certainly the best wine we can make at $13 a bottle.
It's like having a sommelier in my pocket.
Exactly.
I mean, I love
it. Literally,
we
have an app.
Yeah, we have an app for that. Oh, and you do have an app.
Yes. You can literally have it in your pocket.
Is it available on Android as well? Because I know iTunes or iPhones always have it, or Apple. But is it an Android app as well?
Yes, we are on both.
Yay! Mm-hmm. Because I'm an Android girl. Sydney, it's been a pleasure having you on the show, Club W. How can we get more information about getting the app and more about Club W?
Visit clubw.com, start your palate profile, see what recommendations we give you, and go from there. In the App Store, just search for Club W, and you can download our app there as well.
And how often, one last question, I'm running out of time. How often, you said it comes once a month. Is it a particular time of the month? I got this last-minute question. Is it a particular time of the month that they're delivered, or whenever?
Yeah, as soon as you place the order, that is your monthly ship date every month. You can, if you want to change it, you can do that. You can also order more than one wine delivery a month. Say you got through your three bottles or however many bottles you ordered, and you're like, oh, no, I have a dinner party. I want some more. We have a ship now function for two or three or however many more you want to order in a month.
Wow. Sydney with Club W. I'm not even going to butcher your last name because I love the way you said it. But Sydney Montenue, I'm saying it like that, but it's pronounced differently, with Club W. Thank you so much for being on my show. It was such a pleasure having you.
Thank you so much.
And I will check out Club W as soon as we get offline, me and Doug. We will be checking out Club W. And thank you for being a part of the Beauty Files with Juanita. Until the next time we speak, you take care. Bye-bye.